You are listening to The New Day, Feel the Power. Here's one of our favorite episodes, and you can check out more from the archives on Spotify, baby.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Thank you for hitting play, for downloading, for subscribing, all that good stuff. Appreciate you coming back to the greatest podcast of all time, entitled The New Day. Feel the power. Baby. Thank you for signing on with us today. We appreciate you. Today is our mailbag episode. Mm-hmm. We have asked you all to use the hashtag AskNewDayPod and send your questions. Good ones, bad ones, funny, not funny. All types of questions will be answered this episode. And they are questions that have come from you, our glorious, amazing, beautiful audience. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And we have asked my good man, my good friend, my boy, Rashad Dunn, a.k.a. Big Juicy, to present all the questions, to ask the questions to us here. So that's why he's here. He's not here to tell stories or anything else, only to ask the questions. That's all he'll do. You heard? You heard?
Why, thank you very much, my good man.
Yeah. I didn't ask that. I said just here. The questions.
I just wanted to, you know, just say thank you for having me once again. If you want to be ungrateful about it, then be ungrateful.
Yes.
I think you're just salty, but it's okay.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Starting out, FBrooks324 ask, past, present, or future, who is your dream match as individuals and as a team?
Are you okay answering this one? Because this, I think, may fall under your definition of what a list is. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure you're all right, E.
It pains me a little bit, but I'll answer the question, I suppose.
This is a callback. Go listen to the previous episode to understand that joke.
Otherwise, it's confusing. It's really confusing.
Somebody go first.
I'll go first, and it's kind of like a weird like non-answer that's elongated and drawn out, you know, but that's what I do. So my ideal match or dream match of best match of all time would be going up against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Okay. And to me, Shawn Michaels is the greatest to ever do it. I feel like I've said this on a million different interviews, but I'll say it again here. I've never seen him have a bad match, and most of the matches that he are in are not good. They are great. So to me, he's the greatest of all time. So growing up, that's what I would always want. You know, I'd envision myself at WrestleMania wrestling for the title, against Shawn Michaels. And, We kind of did that a little bit because a couple years ago, actually it was more than a couple years ago when we had the match against the League of Nations, which you don't want to talk about. But the post-match was cool. And we had Stone Cold and Mankind, as well as Shawn Michaels, come out there. And at one point in time during that that deal, I was able to twerk with Shawn Michaels in the ring at WrestleMania. So
I don't know why it pops me that you call him Mankind.
That's his name. You know?
I know. I don't think he was Mankind that night.
No, he was just Mick Foley.
Look, I don't. Who's to say?
Like, if you would have come and said we were in the ring with Shawn Michaels, Dude Love, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He has multiple monikers. I feel like you can pick one. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
You can pick one. Right, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
But I got out there and I got to twerk with Shawn Michaels, which is still wild to me, being in the ring with him at WrestleMania. So to me, like, that box is kind of checked off. As far as us as a group going up against somebody, I don't have an answer for that one right now.
Can we say the actual answer? So I'll take my turn if you don't have an answer.
Yeah.
So my one-on-one match would be Too Cold Scorpio, greatest wrestler of all time. Him or if Jackie Chan ever wants to get into a wrestling ring.
Did Too Cold did that moonsault
leg drop?
I watched that recently.
Bro.
It's crazy.
It is.
Imagine seeing that at 11 years old, not knowing ECW exists.
And he's not small.
No, he's not. He's huge. To be flying around like that.
Bro. Yeah. People don't give him enough dude.
No, they don't.
Some crazy stuff for being a big dude.
Thank you for now understanding why I've been repping him my whole life.
That's the first thing I thought of when I met him when I was, I actually went to the airport to pick him up when he was a guest trainer in Deep South.
So jealous.
So we got to spend some time together in the car, and that was the first thing I said. I was like, man, this dude is thick, man. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't be able to move around like that, let alone doing moonsaults and hitting leg drops on people. I actually just saw a video recently. I don't know if you saw it, but he did a moonsault and into a double stomp. Yeah. Onto somebody. Yeah. This was recently.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yes.
Oh, because he's still working.
Yeah, yeah, man. Crazy. Like the past like couple weeks.
He might be better now than he was. That's he's wild. So nasty.
It's insane.
And so, okay, so my only story of meeting him is I was doing extra work. I think I was 19 years old. And, you know, obviously when you're coming in as an extra, you've got your suit on. It's baggy. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm in college. I want to wrestle. And you say hi to everybody, and I saw him sitting in like a folding chair in like a random place in the arena. Like, there's no reason a chair should have been here. No reason he should have been sitting here. His suit is like straight up like pimp suit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I don't know if I'll have another chance to do this. So I walked up to him and introduced myself. And I was wondering if you had any time, if you wouldn't mind rolling around in the ring with me, because you're my favorite guy, and I would just love to learn anything from you. And he looks at me and goes, man, I don't even know you. and I legit, like, the fear set in me. I was like, that's how we can get to know each other. He goes, I'll meet you out there in 10 minutes. And I was like, yes, yes.
How cool is that?
And so he comes out there, and we lock up, and he takes an arm, and then Matt Morgan.
Oh, yeah, I remember this story.
Goes, hey, Scorp, can you show me some arm stuff? And he's like, yeah, what do you want? He's like, something that, like, you know, that I can show off my size with. And he's like, well, and he looks at me, he's like, sorry, man. I was like, oh no, what's happening? Mm. I didn't understand. So he shows him like where you get a knuckle lock, and then raise brother all the way over your head. Mm. And then he's like, and then he would cut my legs out from underneath me while I was 7 feet in the air. And he did it like 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, okay, this sucks. But Scorp's still here. So I'm like, maybe like he'll do it one more time, and then I'll get to go back to doing what I really want to do. And he kept doing it. And then Scorp got bored of it and left. And then I stayed with Matt Morgan. And the whole time I'm just thinking like about what could have been. Like, maybe we would have been good friends. Maybe you would have taken me under his wing. Like, and so later, years later, I tell Matt Morgan this story, and he goes, oh my God, man, I'm so sorry. He took me out to dinner that night, and just every time I see him, like, he apologizes for it. So I was like, you know what? And came back around. But yeah, so that since then I've never crossed paths with Scorpio.
Wow.
And I like he to me, like, he's like the reason I am a wrestler. Because I love everything that he did. He was so dope.
That story reminds me of the time that you met Lil Dicky.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And our boy, we love Mark Henry, but Lil Dicky might be your favorite rapper. He's up there.
He's up there. Yeah, he's up there. Because Young Gravy just hit number one a little while ago. Don't laugh. Young Gravy is the truth, bro.
I haven't heard any Young Gravy, but the name
Gravy
is
incredible.
It is. Anyways.
I remember you put it on the car.
Oh, he's dope.
I'll
give it a listen.
Ago, yeah.
But anyways, we were at the ESPYs a few years ago, and we were sitting right behind Lil Dicky.
I freaked out.
And you lost your mind. It was pretty cool. And he was cool about it.
Because I've been arguing for Lil Dicky before, like, he blew up. I was watching his like weekly videos he would drop, and I'm trying to tell everybody. Like, I was like on Street Team without him even knowing.
Yeah.
I was all about it. And then we're sitting right behind him. I freak out. I talked to him. Hey, man, would it be cool if I got a picture? Yeah, yeah, cool. We're about to take this picture. And then Mark Henry comes up. Hey, Lil Dicky. Hey, 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 hey. While he's getting his phone. Hey, hey, look, I listen to your music. Hey, hey. And then he shows him his phone that he's downloaded the album. And
Spotify.
Like, just jumps in the picture with me, and that's like, it's cool. I love Mark. He's great, but I was just, can I get a second?
Bro, it was so obvious that you wanted to take the picture by yourself to the point like me and E are like, man, this is his moment.
Yeah,
let him get his picture. If we get a group picture, that's cool. And from out of nowhere comes Mark. I don't even know where he was at.
I don't know.
Well, he just came out of nowhere.
He disappeared. He materialized.
My God. That was so funny.
Mark, and
like the smile on your face too is just like you don't hide stuff on your face, my little.
I don't.
You just I got no this grimace, face. Like happy to be there, but you know, thinking about how to Photoshop Mark out. That's what it looks like. You say it on your face.
Favorite team, by the way. Kofi didn't answer. But
the team. So obviously, we haven't as a group gone up against the Undisputed Era. So I would love that, but one that is more of a fantasy that probably won't happen. I hope it does at some point, would be going up against the Elite.
He said
okay.
It.
All right.
Okay, dope. So specifically Kenny and the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially we had a taste of that. We went up against them in a Street Fighter competition at E3. We were bringing wrestling worlds together. We were having companies collide, and showing that everyone can just have a good time and wrestling should just be wrestling for the sake of people's entertainment, because that's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. And it would entertain the absolute hell out of me to be able to wrestle those boys. Anyway, your turn, E.
My turn. This is an answer that I've answered many times, but my dream match. Why y'all snickering? How dare y'all snicker? I'm talking about a match that means a lot to me. Y'all want to sit here and make jokes and laugh and giggle like schoolgirls? Tee-heeing? That's what y'all were doing. You were tee-heeing. Y'all already know the answer. If I were to ever have a dream match, it would be against the one, the only, Goldberg. That's right. Goldberg. I don't want to hear y'all talking about all this work rate and how guys are in the ring and moonsaults. I don't care about any of that. You heard? Y'all want a great match? Nah. Bump that. I want to see two big men with big kids. With big chests. And big muscles. Bumping meat. That's why I'm here. That's why I watched wrestling as a kid. You want your 5-star matches? You want your 30-minute classics? Not me. Big meaty men slapping meat. That's what I want. I'm ramping up.
Well, that's one question Goldberg. Down. Here we go. No, you got to answer the team.
Team.
You want three Goldbergs? Team.
You guessed it. Hop up in the cloning machine. Get in the cloning machine. Give me three Goldbergs. Oh. And we'll have a trios match.
Oh my God, I got
as
a
kid say. Yeah, yeah.
I got a headache. My stuff hurts.
Yes, you'll be all right. But alternate answer for someone, Shingo in New Japan.
Ooh, okay.
Oh boy, nasty. Okay. Big Shingo fan. Shingo.
M. Jeff 90 asked, I love your spirited debate on Christmas. I'd love to know where at WWE Big E and at True Kofi stand on at Xavier Woods PhD childhood cartoon debate.
So what exactly was the childhood cartoon debate?
I don't know. I assume that they're talking about the fact that, so I used to work at a daycare. I worked at a daycare for 5 years, essentially to pay for wrestling school and pay for my car, gas, and all that stuff all through college to kind of bounce around on the indies. And through working at the daycare, a lot of the cartoons that the kids would watch, I felt like they didn't teach them anything. It was just a cartoon for the sake of like animation, which is dope. But like, if I'm going to put this in front of a 7-year-old, like I remember 7-year-old me watching like DuckTales, and yeah, it's awesome. So you still get all the cartoons, but there's always like some sort of moral story where you're always learning something regardless of what show you were watching, minus like Animaniacs. And that's when it started to turn into just blah, there's crazy stuff. But even then you got like all 50 states and they'd give you something educational, you know? And so my whole thing was when I was 18, I started collecting DVDs of older cartoons from back in the day because I wanted to be able to create a Saturday morning lineup for my eventual children. Mm. And that's why I have all those DVDs and stuff downstairs in my basement because I wanted to give them those so they have all these lessons and stuff in case once it came to that point where I did have kids, which is now, if there weren't cartoons that gave them that, I would be able to give them that. So it's kind of like a moot thing now because I think there's a lot of good cartoons now, especially like Steven Universe.
Sure. Mm.
But yeah.
Morality is a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. I guess as a kid, I wasn't too concerned with that. I could see that as a parent. You know, you were concerned with giving that on, you know, to your children. As someone who does not have kids and will never have kids, I don't care about that. I will say X-Men, the animated series, though, that was my jam. Yeah.
Man,
What a show.
You guys listen to Common Kings, by the way? This is so random. Common Kings.
I knew you posted about
them. Yeah, a reggae band. And I actually went to a concert that they had in Austin, and they played like this version of the X-Men song in their concert. So I didn't know who they were, and then that's what they led with. I was like, oh! Instantly. I've been on them ever since, yeah, man. They're dope. So good.
I bought the AJ Lee when I was in developmental on FCW years ago. We both talked about how we love the show, and I bought her the DVDs, and I realized I went back later in, like, I think like 2010-ish, and like watched them because I think they were on YouTube at the time. Yeah. And you watch them, they still hold up.
They do.
They were great.
They do. Yeah. I'm actually going through them right now with my kids. Yeah. And it's wild just seeing how good the cartoon was, because as a kid you're just watching a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very good cartoon.
And emotional touch, like relationships and things like that.
Yeah. Even them going into like the fact that, okay, Scott Summers and Jean Grey, but then there's Wolverine. So like as a kid you're watching this like man trying to steal this other dude's girlfriend, but like they still have to be friends and work as a team. Like there's a lot going on.
Deep. Yeah. It's deep. Yeah. And going on that, I guess I'll just give my two cents too. But I kind of was in the same boat as you, E, as far as like growing up, I didn't really care about the educational content of the movie or of a cartoon. But now as a father, like we don't really let our kids watch that much TV. And if they do, it will have to be educational. So kind of a combination of both. But because, you know, you see things in the air. You see people in the airport all the time where they have their kids and they're just kind of like zombies because they got the tablets in front of them. And I get it because my kids are wild at the airport. Yes. Man, the other day I was at the airport and my kids are cartwheeling like into each other. They're climbing up. I posted a video on it on my Instagram. They're climbing up the poles on the like the transfer buses. There are civilians all around. And my oldest son is like climbing up and like swinging. And then he's getting mad at me for telling him not to swing because there's people around. Oh, I'm like, this is not what it's for. It's not a jungle gym, you know. But, you know, so I get it when people have a screen and they want their kids to calm down on a trip. But to me it's like scary because my kids, their personality completely changes if you put a tablet in front of them and that whatever it is that they're watching, all of a sudden like whatever personality they have, it's gone, you know. So I don't know, we don't like to promote that in our household if we can avoid it. So
you hit it hard.
Yeah.
Well done, very well done. Moving on to the $1 million question for some. Rosalie Hawkeye asks, out of all of the anime characters in the world, who would you all pick to be? Or even pick for each other?
Easy. I'm Yusuke Urameshi. That's easy.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you don't know what that is, it's from an anime called Yu Yu Hakusho, the greatest anime of all time. He gets the ability to shoot the spirit gun. At one point, he goes into a cave, and he's there for days, just hurting. Comes out, spirit gun is even stronger than it was before. But that's me.
Man, that to me, that is it's an impossible question to answer because there are so many different traits of so many different anime characters that I like, most of which are in Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. Like Goku, obviously, he's the one who's always trying to make himself better, you know, kind of the epitome of what a good person is supposed to be. So I love that aspect. But then I love Frieza, too, the way he just talks trash and he'll beat somebody up while he's talking trash eloquently, you know, which I mean, I don't know if it's so eloquent on Up, Up, Down, Down, but I'll talk trash while I'm playing games with somebody, you know, so I like that element too. You know, Zuko Midoriya, you know what I'm saying, from My Hero Academia, mm-hmm. Someone who's trying to find themselves and, you know, go ultra, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
B plus ultra and beyond, whatever, you know, whatever the term is, but yeah,
ultra, you good.
Blow ultra, go plus, you know, plus ultra.
Ultra.
But you know, he's always trying to just make himself better, and I think that's such a great, like, you know, trait to have in life. Like, no matter how successful you are, how much power you have, you're always trying to like get to that next step and make yourself better. So complete cop out on that question. I can't pick one.
I think you hate lists more than E does.
I do. Yeah. I'll make it long, you know. I'll draw it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I only really watch one anime, and don't judge me. Rashad, who is, don't put that face on. Rashad is actually the first person of melanin, the first brother that I knew that watched anime. I didn't really, when I was a child, we didn't get down like that for some reason. I don't know. No, you know, it wasn't really a thing I was exposed to. Mm-hmm. So Rashad would put me on, but I was hard-headed at the time. Probably still am, but I didn't really listen to any of his suggestions. But Sasha actually suggested Death Note. And man, what a show.
It was good.
What an anime.
It was good up until that like 26th episode or whatever.
They had so many episodes for that first season. But anyways, I think the moralism compelled me, you know, and like when's the right time to use the note and whatnot. But so I'd have to go with the Shinigami. Ryu. He's just eating apples. He's just lurking, waiting for people to die and whatnot. You know, that's cool. I like that.
Wyatt King. Seems to be the Wyatt King. Will we ever see a WWE and Fortnite crossover?
I don't know. If I was in charge, I could give you a better answer on that. Mm-hmm. I wish that would happen. That would be super cool because Fortnite does a bunch of awesome crossovers, and I'm all about trying to drag the WWE into the gaming space as much as humanly possible because this is my world. Mm. Both of these things are my world, and I love them dearly, and I want to take this Venn diagram of wrestling fans and video game fans, I want to grab it in the middle, and I want to stretch it out. Ooh, right. I want to stretch it out till it's as big as can be. I want to be able to put my head inside it. Okay. That's how big I want to stretch it out right. to be. Okay. I want to stretch it. I'll stay stretching.
Just moving on to the next question. We see we have a little passion here on this on this end.
Let me stretch it.
Timmy01 asks, have you three ever misunderstood each other?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. That's how we have such great chemistry.
Yeah.
I remember one time specifically I upset E because we were jabbing each other back and forth, and I and I said something about him when he was NXT champion, and he and the way that I said it, I didn't mean it in the way that he interpreted it, and I didn't realize that he interpreted it that way. And so when I did realize that, I made him talk to me because I'm very much about like, hey, speak what's on your mind so that we can like either like get past it or not. And we had this talk while we were in the shower.
Oh, it's true. That's right. Butt naked.
So we were butt naked cleansing ourselves. And I said, hey, man, what's the deal? And then we talked for like 10 minutes in the shower just naked washing ourselves.
There you go. What better place? Yeah. You can't go anywhere.
So, yeah, that's the biggest thing. I don't think it's a problem to misunderstand someone or not be on the same wavelength as them. But I feel like if you do have a problem with somebody like that, if you want to get to the level of like of chemistry and friendship that we have, which we take very seriously, like you have to push through things like that. This is like a marriage.
Yeah, it is, honestly.
Yeah.
It is.
Like you're not always going to have fun with your spouse. You're not always going to be happy with them or pleased. They're going to do stuff to piss you off, and you have to go to them and say, hey, quit nagging me about what I'm feeding the kid for lunch and leave me alone when I'm in the basement live streaming on Twitch. You just got to say things like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, okay.
All right. He had grapes today. I don't care. Yeah. He wants grapes again. Yeah, let him eat grapes if he wants them. They're healthy, right? He needs a starch. I get it.
Yeah. I always have fun with my wife because she listens to the show. And when she hears this, I hope she knows that every moment that we spend together, I am having so much fun in every passing moment because I love her. And it is great. It is a great relationship. Yes, and as a matter of fact, she was on social media as Earth Mama Rising. You know, go ahead and follow her if you want. She just challenged people to go on 100 wanders, which she accomplished last year. Essentially, a wander is an adventure or an excursion in nature with the kids, walking through the forest or finding, a river or something naturous. And you take the kids out there and it helps to calm them down. That was a great idea on her part. You know, it was such a great idea to help find a way to calm these wild kids of ours down, you know, and teach them about nature all at the same time. She's so smart, and I love her.
Very well played.
Tights Fights asks, any chance we ever hear the theme that Mega Ran made for Kofi to use at WrestleMania?
I don't know if, so I can't remember if we own or if the company owns the song, or because when all the dust settled and everything. So sorry, we got to explain what this is. So yes. Kofi had this incredible, amazing run. Kofi Mania was hot. God. If you got near it, you got burnt up because it was so hot.
Yeah. All the way burnt up.
So we reached out. We have many very talented friends. And Woods has known Mega Ran for quite some time. Through Woods, have known Mega Ran for a while.
Mega Ran is one of the greatest rappers on the history of the planet. Check him out. Follow him on all platforms. He's so good at music.
Yes. Also, Wale. Grammy-nominated Wale. Mm. Dropping jewels, dropping classics over all these years. You know what I'm talking about? What's the Lady Gaga joint? You know, he's been dropping gems. Anyways. Yes, the album about, I don't know, I'm looking at you. Yeah, do you know? The album about Nothing is one of my favorite albums of all time. But anyways, Wale is very talented as well. And
Matrimony.
Matrimony, you love Matrimony. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mega Ran worked on the beat with a good friend of his, and we also reached out to Wale. And after a few weeks, oh, let me not forget that Kofi reached out to his mom. So I don't want to, this is your part, this is your part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So essentially what we were trying to do, like he was saying, was come up with something that was a little bit more serious, but also kind of paid tribute to the past, because this was such a moment that brought so many people together and would only have happened, you know, it only happened because so many people did come together so strongly. So we wanted to pay tribute to all those people, all the parties involved. And yeah, we reached out to Wale and to Mega Ram, and the creative process for that was just so amazing, going back and forth, and you know, them coming through with a you know, like a example of what they wanted, a sample, and then us, you know, nitpicking a little bit and then sending it back. And I even had my mom record an intro in Chui, the native language in Ghana, essentially saying, like, you know, Kofi, this is what you've always wanted since you were a kid. Raise up and go get it. Now is your time, you know. So the process of that, like, I had her record that on WhatsApp, send it to me, had to, like, convert it, you know, send it to Mega Ran. Is this okay? It's like, yeah, it should be fine. And then when they, the way that it all came together was just, it was majestic. And then kind of like going into what we wanted to do for the theme, we were going to dress up in, like, well, just African warrior-inspired entrance gear, and we would come out. And then we wanted to have African dancers surround us doing different types of, like, traditional African dance, you know? And then we come through the dancers, and we kind of start vibing with them, and then we start walking forward. And then behind all of us, we would have people of all different ethnicities, body types, shapes and sizes, old, young, come out behind us. I'm talking about, like, 50 deep, you know what I mean? All wearing traditional or old, like, Kofi Kingston shirts, you know, all the way up until, like, New Day shirts. So all the different kinds of shirts that we had, we're going to have them all rep that, because it was all of us that came together for this moment, you know? And then the song on top of that, you have, like, the tribal drums, but they're in a, like, a speeded up version of the New Day claps. So obviously, you know, our clap is, but you in the song, you had it. You know, so
gets you ready for battle.
You know what I'm saying? I'm getting ready for battle right now. You know what I mean? But, you know, it was still cool. It was an amazing moment, yeah. Obviously. And well, up until now, nobody would have known what it was supposed to be.
Right.
Oh, my God. Like, wow. Yep. Wow.
I think the biggest thing about it from my standpoint, because, like, as you guys know, like, I'm always just trying to think of, like, how does this work in a storytelling aspect? You know, like, what does every little piece mean in having everything in that entrance, and then us essentially, like, sending you on to, like go get your prize, you know, like, with all that, but everyone is sending you on, because there's such a difference in a performer who, as we say in the business, if, like, they, some people can get the rocket, and that just means, okay, so you come in, you get booked well, you become IC champion, you become heavyweight champion, and you stay up in the top of the card. Like, you obviously worked hard for what you got, and I wish everybody could get the rocket, but 90% of people don't get the rocket. 98% of people don't get the rocket. So it's a totally different kind of grind to get to that point where you're fighting for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania without the rocket. It's a very different vibe. And so to not be able to kind of put our stank on it, obviously still, like, top 10 greatest moments of my life just being out there watching that happen, you know? But I really feel like it would have just added so much to the moment, and especially because, like, this moment is never going to be recreated ever again. These circumstances, this feeling, this type of energy that was in the crowd, there was no roof on that place, and I thought that it was going to explode with no roof. Like, it was insane. So it's a lot.
Yeah, man.
SF Native 1 asks, if 3 ain't enough, I need 5. Is there a chance of future New Day members? Any prospects? Who would be the worst new addition besides Corbin? I didn't tag Big E because Big E is Big E.
Mm. Ooh. Mm.
What? That's a great question, actually. You were hating? Was over here hating.
I was.
Yeah. God well, forbid. Go ahead, explain why he's hating. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
I don't know if everybody knows, but I had a gimmick back in the day in NXT. I don't want to go on too long, but 3 and a half, I need 5. You know what I mean? That was my theme song, whatever. 5 count, baby. Anyways, I think we've talked about this already.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Running into the ground.
You might have some new listeners.
No, if they're this deep in the podcast, they know.
Hold on now.
I don't want to get bogged down too much. Okay. But to answer the question, who would be the worst member? Let's start with that. The worst addition.
That's actually a really good question.
That's a great answer, I think, right there. But besides Corbin, who is a bad fit?
But the thing is, like, the worse fit they are, the funnier it is.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about like adding somebody in to the group as opposed to having like an honorary member or a cameo appearance, you know what I mean? Like, to me, adding anybody into the group makes the group completely different, and that is the worst to me. And I always use this example. We go and talk about soup, okay? Because if you have tomatoes and water, you got yourself like a little bit of a tomato soup. But you add a little cream to it, you have a tomato bisque. It's not the same. You know, it's similar, but it ain't the same thing, you know? So to me, adding anybody into the group is a hard no for me, unless you want to call it something completely different and end the group.
You said that we've talked about this. I've never once heard you say that.
No, so we said that at the New Orleans Comic Con. You don't understand by adding different ingredients into
it. I don't really eat soup.
Yeah.
I guess
it's not, no, okay, okay, what's you like to eat, E? What you like to eat?
Sushi.
You like sushi, poke. I don't really know the contents of sushi.
But
you add a different piece of food into some sushi, it makes it a different piece of sushi, right?
Can we just move on?
That's you.
Let's move on.
Don't add nobody to the group.
I really want to answer this question, though, but I want to give a good answer.
Well?
As far as women we would add to the group, we talked about for many moons, we talked about Sasha. And I think that would be a good fit. Still, I think that would fit. Well, she's kind of gone down
now.
A dark path.
She's angry now.
Real dark path.
We've been on a dark path.
We're born that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, maybe not the best fit anymore, man.
I think the worst fit would be Kevin Owens.
Mm. What are you talking
Care
about?
Care to elaborate on
about
that
this?
Answer?
No, we already talked about this on a previous podcast, and it didn't sit well with me. All right?
I guess Moving on.
That bothers me because I wanted a good answer.
You know what? Can we? I want to throw that question back at everyone listening. Who do you guys think would be the worst actual addition, not cameo like Kofi was saying, actual addition. Who would be the worst addition and why? Use hashtag New Day Pod.
DMitty78 asks, if you guys had a manager from any era, who would it be?
Ooh. Slick.
And why?
I knew you were going
to
say Slick.
Well, he got to have Slick. Okay. It just feels right. Feels good.
I like that answer.
Okay. And why? You know, because he moved well, you know. Good hips.
I would say Paul Bearer.
Oh. Paul Bearer?
That'd be the weirdest fit with us.
Yeah. That'd be very strange.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people say have the same voice as young preacher E. Ironically, I mean, you said, I'm just saying what the people are saying. The people said it.
Let's move on.
And moving on, we shall. Young E, who was afraid of fowl.
Oh, yeah, he's afraid of birds.
Oh.
I said a healthy respect for birds.
Healthy respect.
Keep your distance.
Pissing the night away.
Ooh. Oh,
boy. Can you say that?
Aggressive.
Yeah, Chumbawamba.
That's her name?
That's her name.
Let's proceed.
Tomato, tomato. What's your favorite 2 Live Crew song?
Ooh.
Aside from Kofi winning at Mania, what's your favorite moment as a group? First of all. Favorite 2 Live Crew song. We can
those
start.
I thought questions would be different ends of the spectrum.
I guess they figured they had their 15 seconds. They were going to take it.
Yeah.
2 Live Crew. Well, we did flip the 2 Live Crew. We want some New Day.
Yeah, but
that's what we made it. Right.
Yeah.
I would say that's my favorite. What's the name of that song?
I don't know.
I didn't really. 2 Live Crew, I'll admit they're very instrumental and they're pioneers in hip hop. I never really sit down and listen to a lot of 2 Live Crew.
I couldn't.
Right. No disrespect. Uncle Luke. Shout out to Uncle Luke.
Yeah. I do like Uncle Luke. Uncle Luke is. He's freaking
because
awesome.
Because you could not listen to a lot of 2 Live Crew in a public place.
It's dirty. It's real
dirty.
What was this? Captain D coming. Trick coming. Because you have to move your body like that.
Yeah.
Big body in the house. Girl, it better. Watch your mouth.
This reminds me of the fact that we need to get in the studio and make a booty song. We've been talking about making a booty song for quite some time. And we all BSing. Let's get to it.
Listen, I got it now. Okay, so sorry, we're gonna derail off the questions real quick. I know, together.
Together.
Hands in.
Together.
Yeah. So I started playing Grand Theft Auto, but on a role play server. Okay. So essentially, people play Grand Theft Auto, but it's hard to get started if you don't have like a bunch of people playing with you, because you'll land in a town and then there's like a gang that just come and kill you. It's hard to play solo. So I found out that people have their own servers where they role play. So you can role play as like a police officer, just a random civilian. Oh. You can drive an ambulance. You could be a doctor, but you have to be in full role play. Like if you come out of role play, like you're out.
They'll
right?
kick you out.
Yes.
Whoa. You get banned. Wow.
It's freaking. It sounds crazy, right? But then when you do it, like. When you play, you're not doing anything, but you're doing everything. Mm-hmm. And this is how I've been spending my time recently. And so day three of it, there's a guy, Mr. Chang, who is the owner of Wu Chang Records. Oh. And they had a Mara Chang idol. So I got, yes, I logged in and I called a friend. And he's like, hey, you're missing a Mara Chang idol. You got 3 minutes to get down here. He came and picked me up. We got in there. And it's all real people. But you can only hear them when you're close to them, right? So it's like as close to real life as possible. And so they tell me, you know, you're the last contestant in round one. So I sang a song and I advanced to round two. And then it's teams of three. We sang Bohemian Rhapsody. We advance. Last song, I sang Turnaround, and I won a $250,000 Wu Chang wow. Records contract. Congrats. 5-song deal.
Congrats.
I dropped my first song the other day, and so you get paid based on the songs that you put out. But they are actually making music and then putting it on SoundCloud as these
Whoa.
Characters.
Wow,
and
that's
so,
deep.
Based on like the hits that you get, like in real life, you get bonuses in the game from Wu Chang Records.
So you got a bonus?
I'm about to get a bonus once I put it up. I have to make my SoundCloud for my character and stuff. But I'm actually making music. So I sent the stems, the vocals, mm-hmm. and the track.
Industry term.
Yes. Yep. To Maddie, and he fixed it up for me, and I put it out and was playing it for them yesterday, and like, it's
kind of hot.
It's kind of, yeah, kind of bumps.
And it's a booty song.
This one is not.
Okay.
This one's not, but I'm saying we now have more means. I went to Sam Ash. And bought a bunch of stuff.
Oh,
so my vocals would sound better.
Wow.
I'm fully in. Like if you've seen that episode of The Simpsons when Bart breaks his leg and he like goes crazy and is a conspiracy theory guy, that's kind of what I'm turning into. I'm fully in. Like okay. I don't know if I'm coming back. This might be my life now.
You signed for you got another four and
another 4 years.
4 years and 8 months.
I thought you were talking about I have another 4 songs to make on my contract. But yes, so now we have the means, we have a bunch of people to help us make a booty song. If y'all want to help us make a booty song, let us know on the internet using hashtag New Day Pod.
All right. So aside from Kofi winning at Mania, what's your favorite moment as a group?
Oh,
gosh. Every moment with these two guys is my favorite moment because each time I see them, it's better than the last.
Come on, man.
Well played.
Come on, man.
Very well played.
Wow.
How about when we hopped on the microphone with the microphone Kang, The Rock? I mean, I don't know what people think. I don't know what the consensus was, but no, that was pretty cool. That
was
pretty
cool.
And it wasn't like a quick one. You know, we were out there for a few minutes and we made his little remarks and we said, remember
penis
we said penis
TV.
A lot. You can say penis on TV.
You can't say penis on TV.
We said penis
a
lot.
So we said it on TV.
From our perspective, one thing that I know that people listening to this aren't aware of throughout our process of like coming up with promos and stuff. So that day we knew that we were going up against like the godfather of the microphone. He's absolutely incredible. What an entertainer. Probably the best entertainer that I've ever seen in all platforms. So we knew that he was going to come in with all that Attitude Era vibery, saying whatever he wants, just going in the crowd, backs a hard cam, just doing whatever, and everyone's going to love it. So one of the things that we wanted to try to do is stay within our essentially PG lane, but still see if we could do that, but go toe-to-toe with somebody who is breaking all of our rules. And we did our best to do that, and I felt really good after it, because it was like we didn't just get like washed out like I feel like people at that time may have thought we would have. It was like, oh, New Day and The Rock had a promo, cool, like you can say that in the same breath and it's not weird.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
we were hyped too. I remember coming in that day when we knew we had that, we were like, okay,
bro, let's
go. Gonna get him. We got in the lab. We said our process is y'all get out, let's find a room with the three of us, shut the door, and let's go.
I remember the writer trying to like linger in there, trying to like, excuse us, you got to go while we put this stuff
today's
together.
Today's not the day.
And man, like that's one of the things too, like we've had so many moments that are like moments that you don't set as goals, you know what I mean? And I'm just so fortunate, you know what I'm saying, to like have those moments, right? Like at what time when you were a kid did you say, you know what, I can't wait to have a promo with The Rock and go toe-to-toe with them? And we did that, you know what I'm saying? And it was great to go back and forth. And a shout out to The Rock too for like being cool enough for allowing us to be us, because he could have very easily come in and like stifled whatever it is that we wanted to, that he wanted us to say or whatever. So it's always cool when you see somebody who you grew up watching and then you meet them in real life and they're cool, you know, especially within the parameters of this business, because traditionally, especially when he was around, it was always, you know, dog eat dog, you know, eat him up and this and that. And he was gracious enough to come in and allow us to be us and go toe to toe with him. And I felt like that, like, legitimized us. You know what I'm saying? That definitely, like, legitimized us as, like, oh, these guys got something, you know? These guys got something. They can go toe-to-toe with The Rock, and it's not weird, just like you were saying. So, cool, man. It was great.
Are you done eating?
It was great.
Pantomiming?
I like to pantomime to help reinforce what he's saying.
I really want you to learn sign language so you can be the person on the side of the stage at speeches doing the deal. I feel like you'd kill it.
Look at hype.
Just for the record, Mr. Rock, all the foot betwixt the cheeks talk, that's them.
Oh, he's scared.
The juice Mr. friend.
He's scared.
Oh, yeah. New day. I can't help it.
Yo, if you're with us, there's four of us.
See? There's four now.
I'm saying, if you're staying with us, there's four of us. You're scared?
No, I'm never scared. Now, if it comes down to it, the Jews will take a beating if he got to. Now, I'll fight for the boys.
You're never scared.
I'll fight for the squad.
Yeah.
Oh, sir. I'm down for the squad.
That was a damn, though.
Now, moving to
Bone Crusher with Chris Hero.
Moving to J. Mac Bailey, 14. What is your plan after you guys finish your wrestling careers?
What a question. I think about this often, actually. What is our plan?
I know your plan.
Wait, what?
You're going to buy a bunch of apartment complexes?
That's right.
You're going to be a slumlord? You're going to walk around and collect rent in a robe that's all nasty and tattered?
I talked about that. That was a joke. I was just joking. I was just joshing.
What's up, brother's name on Friday?
Sounds like John Witherspoon.
In the car?
Big Perm?
Big Perm, yeah. You're going to be Big Perm once you're done wrestling. You're going to have rollers in your hair, but still the mohawk? Is the mohawk of rollers?
Stop it. No. I think about this often because I remember for a while we would look at guys who were clearly well past their prime, who were in their 50s and 60s, and be like, man, y'all got to know when to hang it up. But I get it now as I get older and I see the end is nigh. I'm almost 34. I started when I was 23. I ain't got much left.
What are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
That's right.
Because you and I are in the same boat. We're in the same boat. Yeah. You got more mileage on you.
Right. And I take more bumps than you. Oh, and I get beat up more than you because you're a bigger guy, so you can't get beat up.
Look, I do my best right now.
Well, anyways, who else should not be named so that I can't get beat up today?
Have you heard Daniel Bryan's plan? Daniel Bryan's plan is that he and I work VFW halls late into our 60s and 70s, and that we essentially I'll still wear singlet so I can get real fat.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And he can just do his yes stuff, and I'll do, you know, the limbo spot that I do on the live events?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll just do that. Obviously, my back won't be able to arch like that. But just a real horrible old man match doing these gimmicks that, like, still shaking my hips, but real poorly. Like, you know, you're way too old to be doing that. That's our plan, is to never stop
wrestling. We're already too old to be doing
that. That's another option. But voice work, honestly, that's what I'd like to do for a while, is to do some more voice work. If you haven't already, make sure to check out my show, Laser Wolf. It's a great show. Actually, Kofi and Woods appear in season 2 of Laser Wolf.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. So I'm excited. Voice work is just a lot of fun for me.
It is fun.
And you know, you can get old and ugly and fat and show up in your pajamas, and your voice, as long as it's still good, you can go. So that's my plan. But it does, if I'm being honest, man, it's I was thinking about that recently. It's kind of, I don't know if unsettling is the right word, but when you think, I don't know if I'm going to re-sign after this 5-year deal is up. And you think, okay, I'll be 38. And I remember when I first started wrestling, I said I'll be done wrestling at 35. I'll be 35 in 14 months. It's not that far off. And even 38 isn't that far off. And you just get so used to this grind and to seeing y'all every week and to doing this, that this becomes your life. And you get so accustomed to it that not being up on a Friday morning to catch a flight is, I think it's going to be weird. I think it's going to be, I don't know, unsettling.
Bro, it's
and
great.
Well, I'm sure it is. But when it's over and you know it's done, I don't know. I think it might be difficult to walk.
Bro, it's great.
I think it might be different, too, for you as well, because you don't have kids. Like,
oh,
for
so
me,
I got nothing to live for.
No, I'm not saying you have nothing to live for.
I get it. This is all I have in my life.
He can go on a hunt around the world and find them, because I'll be in there 15 and 16-year-olds.
I told you, I don't have any kids.
Scavenger hunt.
You go on a scavenger hunt, and you find your kids. You go from continent to continent, you know, and you're still going on tour, so you get that fix,
yeah,
you know.
You
I'm
traveling.
On the plane, I get to travel, you know, but you're looking for your kids instead of taking bumps, you know.
Where's Biggie? You can make it a TV show.
It's
like a reality
show.
I don't have.
Where's my kids?
Where's my kids?
Stop it.
Is he mine? Find out next time.
You are the father.
It's I'm going directly into video games because I'm so my whole thing, and we talked about this on the other episode, not knowing if I'm ever coming back to wrestling, if I'm just fading away in the distance. So I have been, you know, streaming a bunch on Twitch and doing YouTube stuff and traveling around doing Dungeons and Dragons stuff, doing a bunch of stuff for IGN, for CW. So like in this process right now of being hurt, I'm now confident that the things that I've been doing have been great groundwork for me to not have to go through such a jarring halt of everything in my wrestling existence. Because like you were saying, like it's hard to walk away. Especially like, so being able to have moments like we had at WrestleMania, like that's a drug. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that sends endorphins and serotonin like all through your body, you know, and you can't get that kind of high anywhere else. And so that's what guys and girls that stay around like are chasing. And then I feel like if you're not set up to do something afterwards, then that obviously is going to plague your mind because you don't know where your next check is coming from. You don't know what your next activity is going to be. You don't know what your next wander is going to be.
Hey.
There we go. So I'm going straight into video games. Right now, I'm working on a mobile game that'll hopefully be out at some point in the future. So I'll be making money off that, hopefully, and then making another one after that. So I want to go into developing. I want to go into hosting. I'm trying to host TV shows. I'm trying to get a spot hosting a Nickelodeon TV show. If you want to help me out, I'm trying to host Nick Arcade. They already brought back some shows. They're bringing back Legend of the Hidden Temple. Please, look at me. And we're going to use this video clip specifically. Zoom into my face. I want nothing more in this life but to become King of the Ring, mm-hmm. and to become the host of the new version of Nick Arcade. If you people, my people, our people, can help me do that, I will be eternally grateful, and I will give you every bit of energy that I can to make that the greatest show possible. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man. For me, so I like to have a kind of an open slate. You know what I'm saying? Like, my goal has always been to save as much money as possible so that when this is all said and done, I can go off and do whatever I want. Voice work is definitely an interest of mine, for sure. Acting, most definitely, 90%, I think. I think I want to do that. But I would want to play, like, you know, like a bad guy in, like, an action movie, like a terrible person, human being, like a really bad guy, because I don't get the chance to do that, like, here. You know what I'm saying? So to kind of, like, be able to just do that would be great. And then just kind of, like, travel the world with my family, honestly. Like I was saying before, like, the older I get and the older my children get, the more you realize, like, you're missing a lot of stuff, you know? So I don't want to miss that stuff anymore. So just being home, being present, being able to travel the world with my family, it would be amazing. Because as much as we get to travel the world, and I know you actually, Woods, make it a point to go out and see, like, a lot of the different sites. And I think early in my career, I definitely did that too. But now it's like, we're going to France. Should we go to the Eiffel Tower? I'd much rather do that with my family as opposed to just, like, go and just be there for the sake of doing
it. You want
to
do it with the boys. Okay.
That's not,
no,
that's
I get
not
it.
What I said.
I get it. No, because we're not family. Okay. Okay, Woods and I are family. You know, 5 years, I thought it meant something. I thought it meant something.
I'll take some sights.
You don't know that.
I'll take back these Christmas gifts. Let me keep these gifts back.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Okay, good. Right.
We're not
that's not mine. That's Rashad's. That's Rashad's.
Oh, sorry.
You can take the jersey, though.
No, the jersey's yours.
Okay. But that's what I want to do.
Okay. So that's all the time that we got, because we got to get to work, ladies and gentlemen. Rashad, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys. It's definitely been a pleasure. I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of nervous right before I got here, you know, because I didn't know, you know, what to expect.
Yeah.
I guess. And then you got this fool staring at me the way he does with his chest.
Oh, sorry. We do have one more mailbag question. This comes from Austin Creed. Rashad, do you have at least one more embarrassing story about E that you could tell?
Oh my!
Wow, great question.
Well,
great
question. As a matter of fact, since you asked, we used to we worked together when we were in college. We had this. see, he already knows what's coming. We there was a program we used to work. It was, you know, we called it Youth Leadership, and we used to go to Cedar Rapids, which was 30 minutes away, and we would help, you know, with the kids, would play with them and keep them busy, basically, while their parents could not, and you know, we'd feed them or whatnot. And so, you know, this is back when E liked to wear tighter gear. And he had this G-Unit hoodie that he liked to wear. Not even a hoodie, excuse me. It was a tank top that was more like a spaghetti strap.
Those joints were hot back in the day, by the way.
They were definitely hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Had the thick straps on.
No, there was no thickness of the strap. It was just a really skinny strap.
Well, I was too yoked, so you know, so it looked thin on me.
I could never wear those.
It literally looked like...
Man, my chest just won't allow me to... I tried to buy a couple strings.
You gotta have a thick chest.
It was embarrassing.
So this was, you know, this is our second year in school, and one thing E liked to do was he would make us stop, and we would stop at Walmart every morning before we go, and E would proceed to walk into Walmart, walk right to the rotisserie section, and he would purchase a rotisserie chicken.
Full bird.
Full yard bird.
Okay.
Full yard bird. And he would go and proceed to have this thing, and he would, you know, take care of it and hold on to it until lunch, and then he would proceed to commit a 187 on this bird at lunch. The crazy thing about it was some of these children didn't have food necessarily, so they had to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So you would have this group of kids who were sitting there with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches watching this absolute African warrior demolish this yard bird. He's just stuffing pieces into his face. So, yeah, he's trying to look dumbfounded. You can look the way you want. And I remember looking at him at one point. I said, "Hey, E, what's up? Why you?" I was like, "Come on, man. You know, some of these kids don't have, you know, they can't, they just, why don't you break bread with some of the kids? Because they're seriously, I mean, it looks like Tiny Tim watching, you know, Scrooge eat this full course meal." And he's like, "It's not my problem. They don't have anything to eat."
No. You tell them.
That's a tale.
Did they not have sandwiches? What did you say? They had sandwiches. Haven't I done enough? I'm here mentoring these kids, playing with them, teaching them, doing all the things I'm supposed to do, doing all the things that are required of me. Can I not have 10 minutes to myself to eat this bird? Huh?
Now, mind you, a whole bird, though.
The whole thing.
A growing boy.
He was a growing boy. His protein needs were unbelievable.
He was a growing boy.
I've never seen.
Of course, he got to replenish because he's losing so much and all his friends are computers.
Not how that works.
We gotta go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you catch us on the social medias. You can catch me at Xavier Woods PhD on Twitter and Instagram, and check me out on YouTube. Up, up, down, down.
You can catch me on the Twitter at True Kofi and on Instagram at The True Kofi.
And I'm at WWE Big E on Twitter and on Instagram, but I don't care about that. And be sure to join the conversation on social using hashtag NewDayPod so you can see all the nonsense that goes into making this show. Choose your preferred streaming service, hit subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help get the word out.
And if you like the show, please, 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 please share the podcast with your friends. And if your friends don't know how or where to listen to the podcast, you can show them. Show your friends. Honestly, it's as easy as Googling The New Day. Feel the power, and you'll see lots of different ways to listen. All of them for the free.
Ooh.
Free!
Like that. Android users, follow the show on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, plural, so you never, ever, ever, ever in your life miss an episode.